Today's episode is brought to you by Rudy's Barbershop. They are the original modern barbershop, and they got amazing products, including shampoo, conditioner, body wash, and more. They're all made in the U.S. They're never tested on animals, and they use only the best ingredients available. What are you waiting for? Learn more at rudysbarbershop.com. That's Rudy, R-U-D-Y-S, barbershop.com, and enter the offer code BONKERS to receive 25% off your first order from Rudy's website. rudysbarbershop.com. Use the offer code BONKERS. Hey, everybody. Have I talked to you about PodSwag? PodSwag is the place to go if you want some merch from your favorite podcast. I'm talking clothing, accessories, novelty items. And here's the deal. They work with really good artists to create high-quality products that you want to see. And it's a great way to support the podcast that you love because the podcasters get a cut of this money. So go take a look, pick up some swag from your favorite show. And they got graphic tees, snapback hats, stickers, posters, enamel pins. We got a whole cast of how did this get made enamel pins. They're pretty cool. And remember to keep on checking back in because they're releasing brand new products all the time, especially when the holidays are coming up. We got new stuff coming out there too. So I know I'm always telling you, if you want to give something, a good gift, give a gift of podcast merch because no one else is giving that gift. That's honestly, be the champion underneath the menorah or underneath the Christmas tree or just at a good old birthday party. Give the gift that keeps on giving, unique niche podcast merch. Check out all their stuff at podswag.com/bonkers. That's podswag.com/bonkers. It's a story of true love between a music video producer and an up-and-coming pop star who are doing just fine until a pesky ninja butts his head into the picture. We saw Barry Gordy's The Last Dragon, so you know what that means.
Schwarzenegger grow a baby in his belly, rock a rhinestone vest while whipping Justin to Kelly, or maybe see a burlesque show with Nick Crow and take a boat with speed to hitting cruise control. J-Man, Big Paul, and the beautiful June, gonna take you from the goob all the way to the room. Randy Gaines and Street Fighter helped to blow off steam, just a sucker punch the odd life of Timothy Green. Sharknado to Birdemic, how we staying alive, they call it in the badass and he's on the line, cranking 88 minutes cause they cool as ice, cause a bad Jim Varney looking kind of nice. Paul and June getting literal. Jason is getting laid. June is making sure all the monkey shots getting paid. They judge a bunch of movies while they're making the grade. Here's a real question for you. How did this get made?
Hello, people of Earth! And hello, people of San Francisco! We are live! We are live here at Clusterfest, the first ever Clusterfest in the Larkin Comedy Club, the classic Larkin Comedy Club. We've talked about it before in other episodes. Oh, the history. The history. All the great comics who came through here, did their bits. They're going to make a Jim Carrey-produced comedy-dramedy show about it, I betcha. We are so excited today to talk to you about this movie, The Last Dragon. Made in 1985... It told the story about a ninja and a pop star unlike any other film before its time. And here to discuss this movie with me is, of course, my co-host, Jason Mantzoukas! What's up, jerks? What's up, Jason? Welcome.
How we doing, San Francisco?
I think the question for San Francisco might be, who's the master?
Show up!
Who's the master?
Show up!
That's what I like to hear.
Jason? I'm on record, the early show, is saying I hate these chairs. And for the second show, it remains true. I hate these chairs. They're not conducive. I don't like it.
You look extremely comfortable.
This is how you want to perform, right? Hey, guys.
For those of you listening at home,
these are chairs that, like, you get stoned in someone's, like, basement, and you watch, like, Faces of Death, and then are like, I wish we hadn't watched that.
I'm forever scarred. Jason, ever see Barry Gordy's The Last Dragon?
I had not. And now I have. Transaction finished. I had not, and I was pretty excited to watch it, and I remain excited to have seen it. This was pretty fantastic.
It's It's like kind of perfectly 80s, and it has enough of the stuff that makes it watchable, but also incredibly weird and one of a kind.
Here's the thing. It's just another one of those movies where the crime kingpin is an arcade-owning megalomaniac who's only trying to get his girlfriend's video on something.
Look, all I'm going to say is not Cyndi Lauper did an amazing job in this movie. Please welcome my next co-host, June Diane Raphael. Welcome, June! Hello, June. Welcome. Last Dragon, what did you think?
Loved it.
I don't know. I don't want to pull back the curtain too much, but I watched June watch this movie on her computer earlier in the green room, and she was having a great time.
I loved it.
You were literally giggling to yourself.
You're giggling to yourself.
You know, this is my kind of kung fu movie. This is how how I need fighting and kung fu and action wrapped up.
Yeah, in service of saving a lady, a damsel in distress.
Well, just the music video element and all of those colors, and I really enjoyed it.
I would say it's probably the only ninja movie with a big appearance by El DeBarge. So that's one thing it has going for it.
Fantastic, too.
Amazing.
Why are you calling it a ninja movie?
It's not a ninja movie.
What is it? Kung Fu movie?
Yes, it's a martial arts movie.
All right.
A kung Fu movie.
Sure.
The last
tomato,
movie,
tomato.
The last movie was a ninja movie.
All right.
Are so you here in the 6 o'clock show, or are you still back there?
I'm going to be talking majority about the first show. Yeah, I'm just going to give one. I only have one act that I'll do, so that's...
All your jokes are ninja jokes?
All ninja jokes, things I didn't get to say in the first show.
Yeah. Callbacks to the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles episodes.
All right, so Kung Fu movie.
Yeah.
That's what we're calling it.
By the way, I'm so not an authority on this.
Now, are
yes,
we?
I think so.
All right.
Are we all cool? I think we're backstage at another concert. What's the haps with this? Like,
all I know is that we weren't allowed to have our...
Is this also the EDM tent for this festival?
Well, all I know is that we were not allowed to have our volume loud for our clips, but it seems like the volume over there, not a problem
for
at all.
For what purposes? Because we don't want to drown out their incredibly loud bass? What is that? Who do we
Vince
do we
Staples,
know who it is?
Right?
Yeah. Okay.
Vince Staples over there, like, guys, don't play Barry Gordy's The Last Dragon too loud. I'm trying to concentrate. We have a very special guest.
Because people would be watching Vince Staples and be like, is that a clip from Barry Gordy's The Last Dragon? Dude, let's get the fuck out of here and go watch whatever that is.
Well, I think one person would say, oh, you mean the ninja movie? And they're like, yeah. No, and some of them go, no, it's
Where do you think it is? Well, it's obviously at the comedy club. The comedy club where there's a picture of Miss Piggy on the wall? Obviously, that comedy club.
We have a very special guest, somebody we've been wanting to get on the show for quite some time.
We tricked him into doing it.
We have fully tricked him. You know this guy is a brilliant stand-up comedian. He has a podcast called The Handsome Rambler. He's currently in Baywatch. He's going to be in Spider-Man. He's going to be at Bonnaroo. He's also at the FYF Fest in L.A. Please welcome Hannibal Buress! Welcome, Hannibal.
Thank you. Thank you. Hey, what's up?
Well, here we are. Barry, did you ever see Barry Gordy's The Last Dragon?
Yeah, but I didn't know that Barry Gordy was a part of it originally. I was just watching it as a kid, and it was just, I just remember Show Enough.
I
don't remember any of the story elements. I just remember Show Enough.
It's very memorable.
And then I rewatched it, and I was like, oh, there's a bunch of other shit going on.
Oh, yeah.
I remember, because I grew up in New York, and I feel like on Channel 11, which is like the local... Mean Streets
Hell's
of New York.
Hell's Kitchen.
WPIX. But WPIX would always play this movie.
You grew up in Comac, Long Island. Let's just be clear.
Huntington. So
down on the Bowery.
But I remember always seeing like this played every like Saturday afternoon, and I only remember Show Enough too. I didn't remember there was a whole love story in it, or I thought there was more karate in it.
Do you mean the love story between the little brother and Vanity? Because that's the only love story I'm tracking in this movie.
Well, there's so much to talk about it, but the thing that's always been burnt into my brain is Barry Gordy's The Last Dragon, yeah, because whenever it was advertised, like, Barry Gordy's The Last Dragon. And I didn't know who Barry Gordy was. Clearly created Motown Records and, like, founded some of the most amazing music. But he was like, I'm going to make this karate movie.
Did he do any other movies after this?
No.
What?
This is his.
Like, this is all you get. This is all you get, motherfuckers.
He didn't have
one
to.
Hit.
This was,
I think,
it.
And it is a
I
hit.
Think maybe he finished it and was like, there it is.
Yeah.
I did it.
It will never. The apex has been achieved.
It is. It's a. The main issue with the movie to me, and watching it now, is the main guy, Leroy Green. He has affected a stereotypical Asian man's voice, right? I would like. There's. He definitely has an affectation that is not his own.
Oh.
I noticed that in this one a little bit. Did anyone else pick up on that, or is that just me?
I thought it was autism. Or Asperger's or something.
Yeah, he's definitely like.
He seems off.
There's something. Yeah. He's on the spectrum somewhere.
Yeah, it was something when he saved the girl when they pulled her out of the car. She's like, "You okay?" And he's like, "I am not harmed."
Yeah.
And she said, "Wow!" And I didn't know if she was impressed or that's when she realized he was.
He's
autistic.
For sure. He's for sure not picking up on social cues. You know, because she's still talking to him and he just disappears.
Yeah.
Which makes me like really question Vanity in this movie. Vanity plays Laura Charles, like essentially the female Carson Daly of this world, where she's really into him and he is showing her every sign of her is that he is a young boy. Yes. He has not had sex. He is very pure.
Which he volunteers immediately. Like, he cannot wait to tell her the story of how he's a virgin.
I have to say, I found that story of a young man losing his virginity to be very sensual.
Sensual?
I did. And I know he was a little off, but I was into that as well. That I feel like that's not something that's really explored.
Tell me more.
I don't think he was too young. To me, he
reads about.
No, he's not too young.
But I think his brother, his younger brother, has already had sex.
Yeah, that was weird.
His younger brother really knew a lot about sex.
And he was bullying him.
Oh, yeah.
Like, this stupid brother.
I actually
and his brother knows karate and kung fu. And he's still like, fuck this guy.
Yeah.
This is, I want to play the sex talk from the little brother.
Oh, yeah.
Just so you can see it.
This is some next level nonsense right here.
And by the way, this is like perfect for like a 1985 movie where like a 12-year-old's like, you haven't fucked her yet? It's like, whoa, wait, hold on a second. Like, here we go.
They're in their dad's pizza place.
Yes, which has the best slogan of all time.
Yeah.
Okay, but here we go.
But let me tell you something. The worst thing that can happen to you is that she says yes. Because ain't no woman like that gonna hold still while you figure it out. Not only do you not know when to do something, you wouldn't know where to put it if you did. And Leroy, it can really hurt if you don't know what you're doing.
Okay, I wanna talk about that for a second.
I ain't taking you nowhere, and that's fine.
Like, I want that kid and the little brother from Teen Witch to hang out all the time.
Oh, God, yes.
That kid.
But what does that mean, it can really hurt if you don't know where to put it? What does that mean?
Your dick would break or something like that.
So your dick would... Okay, wait a second.
Yeah, no, if you don't know where to put it, your dick will break right off. Like, obviously, June, how did you not know that? Duh.
Is that like a thing?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean,
do you think he thinks like, oh, he's gonna like try and jam it in a place that isn't a hole?
Right.
That's like, it can really hurt.
He's like, you're so clueless. You're just gonna try to put it in her belly button or something.
Yeah.
Like.
It's just so unusual. This is the whole thing. The movie dealing with this young man's virginity. I mean, it's just so unusual to hear about the male virginal experience in terms of pain. I mean, I've just never heard that before.
Well, yeah. How often is it told? How often have we heard, like, from a guy, my first time, it really hurt.
Yeah.
This never hurt. Maybe it does.
It really
I don't
hurt.
Know.
I wasn't ready.
And then it was okay, but at first it really hurt.
And I bled a lot. Normal? right out of my pee hole.
It's weird to see somebody that could beat up everybody also be a pussy.
Well, he really is, like, he is the strongest man, but he is not cool at all. Yeah. And that is such an odd choice to make. Like, even when he's in the movie theater with his chopsticks, eating his popcorn, wearing that, like, conical hat, like that. Like,
well,
that,
he's dressed like a Chinese, like, railroad worker from the 1800s.
Yeah.
That's
he's
right.
He's dressed like a coolie worker, and they, in fact, keep referring to him as a coolie, which is crazy. Everything about what he's doing is absolutely bananas, and everybody's constantly mocking him for it.
Yeah, but it doesn't seem like he understands that, which goes back to your autism point. It's just kind of...
Don't you just get the sense, though, that he spent so many years training that he just doesn't have the social skills, you know, of any other normal boy his age?
But I think there's something to it. You should be like, I could beat everybody up and the world is mine.
But see, that's what I love about this movie. That's what I love about this movie, that his whole thing is, yes, we learn to fight so that we don't have to.
Well, wow. Yes.
Yeah. And I thought that was awesome.
Totally. And also that his quest for enlightenment or for whatever is primary to him. Like, and even when you put, like, the most beautiful woman in the world in his path, his main concern for her is her safety and the fact that she has his belt buckle. You know what I mean? Like, he's not distracted at all by her beauty. Barely, you know?
Well, no, he wants to go. He's like, please, please bring me to the dance. Like, he wants to be brought
but
to
only
that.
Because she has his belt buckle.
Oh, he wasn't attracted?
He doesn't want to see her. I mean, he might as well, but, like, his drive to see her is the belt buckle.
Oh, I didn't get that.
Right? Am I wrong, nerds?
I think so.
Right? Thank you.
How many people thought he wanted to see her because he was smitten by her beauty?
No.
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 But the odd thing is, this movie is weird because it really is...
Oh, really? This movie? You think... So that's a ruling on your part? This movie is weird?
You would think that the main villain would be shown up, right?
Yeah. And you would think that he would want vanity.
Yeah. Right. No.
No.
Nope.
Seems like Shonuff just wants to kind of, like, get at Leroy.
Shonuff wants to beat Leroy Green so that he can say, I'm
cred.
The best.
Let's talk about how insecure Shonuff is.
Oh, my God.
It just came across right away where he just was like, who, where?
Yep.
He comes into the movie theater.
He's obsessed with Leroy Green.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's obsessed with him.
And Leroy Green doesn't even seem to move his attention from the screen when he comes in. Yeah. He's watching this Bruce Lee movie. I can play the scene, which is... This is odd too. People come in breakdancing.
Yeah, at the mood. Yeah, what was that shit?
And I feel like they're with Show Enough. Like, they're like, no. You gotta, like, you're our
By the way, I will encourage.
And it was somebody. This was crazy. What was that?
That's just a civilian who's like, you're disrupting the movie. I will encourage anybody who has a boombox to put it right there and fucking breakdance your heart out if you want to disrupt.
How many times has that guy seen the movie where he's like, I'm about to stomp at the same time as Bruce Lee stomps?
But see, that's the thing with showing up. Like, he's competing with Bruce Lee.
Yeah. Like, and they've shut the movie off now.
They shut the movie off.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, here he goes again.
He is so insecure, showing up. And I love that Leroy Green is, like, bemused.
The funny thing about this introduction to him, though, too, with Shonuff, is that he's not coming to beat up Leroy Green. He seemingly is coming to watch the movie, because at a certain point, he's like, get us a row.
Yeah,
and then
they're
like, get out of here. This is Shonuff's seat. And it's late in the movie that he's coming to see it. Like this is all, like, happenstance, what's happened here.
This also posits a world where this entire... At this point in time, everybody is obsessed with kung fu, fighting, Japanese culture. Like, everybody's dressed in all these ways. Everybody's fighting in all these... Like, I don't even understand why it has taken hold so much that the entire neighborhood seems to be divided into almost, like, shogunates. Like, what has happened?
And again, that would make a great movie. That's one third of the plot that really doesn't figure into the main plot,
nope.
Which is about a music video or a promoter or producer of some kind.
An arcade owner.
An arcade owner who has I counted five jukeboxes in his apartment. Who wants to get his girlfriend's, like, not Cyndi Lauper's music on a video show. Like, that's the main, the whole movie is driven by that guy.
Yeah.
Like, and
Eddie Arcadian
with the...
It definitely feels like a long way to go, you know, to set up a foil for Leroy. But, I gotta say, I was really happy once I realized we were gonna live in this, like, music video world for the rest of the movie. I mean, there's full dance sequences in this film.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And John C. Reilly... not John C. Reilly.
William H. Macy.
Makes an amazing appearance.
When he shows up as JJ, I was like, what is going on now? Like, I want to meet him and talk to him only about this movie.
Okay.
And Vanity is like a VJ and a singer.
I think she... Because those are her songs she's singing, I'm assuming, right?
And then you're like, you got to play the music video. And her response is, the show's booked for the next 4 weeks.
Yeah.
I have no room to drop in a new music video, which seems like you're not, you know, open to new music
also,
videos.
Also, is she, as the host... Is she in charge of booking all? Like, is there nobody else they can go to?
Also, why not just take a slot 4 weeks from now?
Yeah.
Damn.
You know, and just get yourself in there.
All right. Sound
is all over the place today.
We're just talking about one dinner out of your life. Come on, you can at least have dinner with him.
Yeah, JJ, I would love to help you out, but the fact is my show is booked. So
what's he doing to her hair?
So you're just going to have to
like,
wait.
She can't be looking good when she leaves. Yeah. With what that man is doing.
He's doing business.
They're like, I don't know, just go in and like fluff it up with a comb.
One of my favorite tropes is like the hair and makeup people who only... Because he comes back later on in the movie when madness is taking place. And he's still just obsessed with doing her hair.
Well, they try to get her to do a show right after they've all been kidnapped. They're like, hey, what are you doing? We got a show to do. No, someone was just killed and there was a kidnapping.
The police are running in behind them.
Well,
I loved her, though. Wow, I loved her so much.
Yeah. I thought she seemed nonplussed by a lot of stuff. She's attacked by these men in a cab, and she's like, huh, that was weird. Like, she literally...
She does say at one point, she's like, there's a lot of weird stuff going on.
Yeah.
You've been assaulted twice.
Yeah. In maybe a 24-hour period.
24 hours, yeah.
Like, something... Yeah, something's
amiss.
And also, like... A random guy keeps arriving and saving
you. Okay, if I saw him walk down the street with that hat on, I would be terrified. I would assume this person is deranged and run the other way. It's a scary image.
Oh, the man with the conical, like, coolie hat.
Yeah.
How would you feel if you saw Shownuff with his big shoulder pads?
Well, Shownuff, I mean, that's one of the things I loved about this movie. Like, New York City and in at this time and all of the violence and insanity. I mean, I was nostalgic for that New York.
There was something like, there are like funny New York characters in this. Like, when one of the guys gets punched by Leroy, he goes, "Your mother!" Like, which I think is a great way to react to a punch.
What
year is this? 85.
Yeah, 85. One thing, I got grim for a little bit because I've been drinking a little. And so I was like, oh, that movie has been 32 years. And I was like, oh, man, a lot of those people probably dead.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Those people in the dance, yeah. There's, I would say at least
a lot of the people, a lot of the people in this movie have passed.
But there's been, there were a lot of funny little zingers in there.
Yeah,
like one guy was like, shrimp fried rice hit you.
they're very aggressive to him, and like he's the punching bag, but he never seemingly deserves it. He just seems to mind his own business. He's not asking for it.
Yeah, his brother said, "Carry me on your back and rap."
Yeah,
yeah,
and he does.
And then
you cut to, and he's carrying the younger brother on the back, and he's the younger brother holding the boombox. And then Bruce Leroy is just poorly freestyling.
Yeah. And he's like, that's terrible. He's like, well, I didn't say I could do it. You forced me.
Same. Anytime he's asked to do anything that isn't just his normal whatever, his normal speech pattern, like when he's trying to affect the pizza delivery character that he's perfecting.
That made me laugh. The hardest in the whole movie.
That was amazing when he's gonna con his way into the fortune cookie factory by like being like not a guy that they just saw. Like he doesn't do anything appearance wise other than put a pizza delivery uniform on, and then he shows up where he just was and is trying out all of these different like speech patterns that is gonna be like, how am I gonna get there? And then when he gets there, he can't do it.
Yeah, the door opens like, hi, how are you? Like, odd.
Sometimes you get ads on the show that you're so excited to read, and I'm so excited to say this, that the Emmy and Golden Globe winning comedy series Curb Your Enthusiasm is back for its 9th season, 10 episodes, brand new episodes, starting October 1st at 10 p.m. Eastern on HBO. What do you need to know? Curb is the best show on TV. And this year, our very own June Diane Raphael will be starring alongside Larry David for an episode where they have to fly together. And it's so good. I mean, she's so good in it. The show is so good. We're excited it's back. Cheryl Hines is back. Jeff Garland's back. Susie Essman. J.B. Smoove.
If you've not known, you got to start to know.
So start watching Curb if you've never watched it. If you forgot that it's coming back, well, here's a reminder. Catch the return of Curb Your Enthusiasm Sunday, October 1st at 10 p.m. Eastern on HBO. Today's show is also sponsored by Audible. I am a huge fan of Audible. I got the app on my phone. I'm listening to books while I'm driving. It actually even syncs up with my Kindle, so I could be reading on my Kindle, then jump to my Audible book. It's perfection. And what's happening now is people are realizing that audiobooks are more than just a stuffy person in a sound booth reading a book. They got to make it as entertaining as the book itself. You're having the real authors read their book. I listened to Norm MacDonald's book like this. It was fantastic. Amy Poehler's book has like guests in her book. It's amazing. Lena Dunham does a great read of her book. Right now, I am re-listening to Greg Sestero talk about his experience with Tommy Wiseau in the movie The Room. The book is called The Disaster Artist. Greg does an amazing Tommy. It's the backstage story of the making of The Room, which I am now a part of the film that James Franco directed. And I hadn't listened to it for years, and I'm just going back and re-listening to a book because it's so damn entertaining. So like I'm telling you this. They got an unmatched selection of audiobooks. They're really the only stop in audiobooks, in my opinion. They got original audio shows. Michael Ian Black did a show there. It was fantastic. They got news. They got comedy. They got everything you need. Top quality stuff, people, okay? From the leading publishers, broadcasters, entertainers, and business information providers. And unlike a streaming or rental service, you own the books. You can access them at any time, anywhere, from any device, including your iPhone, iPad, Android, Amazon Fire tablet, or Windows Phone. Plus, thanks to the Great Listen Guarantee, if you don't like your title, you can swap it for a new one. Not to mention that Audible channels give you a collection of exclusive originals, short stories, and comedy, so you always have something new to listen to. Get a free audiobook with a 30-day free trial at audible.com/bonkers. That's audible.com/bonkers, B-O-N-K-E-R-S, because they don't think that you can spell. And here's the deal, people. Get an audiobook. If you like The Room and you love our podcast, you're going to want to listen to The Disaster Artist. I recommend it. Check it out for 30 free days and tell me what you think.
There's so much. Oh, man. There's so many things I want to talk about. First of all, Rudy is in this movie from The Cosby
Show.
Oh,
yeah!
That made me so happy.
Keisha Knight Williams.
Yeah. She was the little daughter that they kept on giving different names to. Yeah, it was, and I loved that that show enough, like, the greatest insult was to kiss his Converses.
Oh, yeah.
Kiss my Converse. so much good stuff here. I'm just looking through what...
I feel like this should have been a sequel or spinoff. Was there?
No, there was none, and this was, like, a hit. This movie was a big hit. It made, made $25 million. It was the 33rd most successful movie of 1985.
That's not insignificant.
It beat out Lady Hawk and...
What?
Yeah.
No. But this is I'm on record as saying Lady Hawk is my favorite movie of my childhood.
Yeah, there you go.
And this beat it? Oh, I've got wowee. Okay.
This
I've got some letters. To
this write. Is the this is the tagline that was on the poster, which I love. He's a martial arts master who refuses to fight. He's a Bruce Lee fan who's so sure he's Oriental that he eats popcorn with chopsticks. His friends think he's too serious. His family thinks he's crazy. His enemies think he's no challenge. But she knows.
This was the tagline of that movie?
That was insane.
That was on the poster.
That's a paragraph.
That's the 80s, man.
What?
Cocaine, dog. People long-winded on cocaine.
That's a lot.
Yeah, yeah, put the whole thing on the poster.
Hey, man.
Yeah,
put it on. We just asked you to come up with a tagline. You like have a like a chapter of a book. You put it on. Yeah, put it on.
Yeah, just the whole, all text. The poster, all text.
Are you sure this is what you want, Barry Gordy?
Yeah, they're like,
yep.
Yep. Now, I know it's a racist comment, but I want to figure out what it was. When she goes... He goes, when the young man says, are you in the mood for a little Asian? She says, I'm not Jewish. Right? Is that what happened? I have the clip here. I couldn't make heads or tails of what it was supposed to be. Like,
I'm not sure either. And okay, I'm not sure I'm allowed to get into it.
Here, this is it. Like, so she's looking for Bruce Leroy.
Oh, right.
She's amazing, by the way.
Sorry, I didn't mean to scare you that bad.
Oh, that's all right. Is it Mr. Leroy here?
No, he's not here, but how about something in a medium-sized Oriental?
Oh, no thanks. I'm not Jewish.
Okay.
I don't know what that means.
I think...
Anybody figure this out?
Maybe that was the point.
Maybe
that was the point where they were like, yo, if we throw this line in, people are going to talk about it at a new comedy festival.
This will outlive us all.
This line's freaking everybody out. We're not sure how to come at it. Should we just cut it? Nope.
Leave it in.
Trust me, because like
30, 40
years from now.
Leave it in and let history decide.
We'll all be dead, and people will still be trying to figure this line out.
Is it that, because he says medium size, that she's thinking, I don't even want to say what I'm going to say. Pass.
This is...
Is she saying that... Jewish people eat Chinese food.
Yeah, like at Christmas time.
Yeah,
you know,
that kind of.
Were you getting Christmas out of that?
Well, yeah, because
I'm just trying to connect Christmas, Chinese and Jews.
On Christmas Day, a lot
just
of
just like
Jewish
my new
people.
Dating service. It's called Chopsticks and Gefilte Fish. Guys, hear me out. It's only getting worse from here. But one of you guys can start it as an app. You fucks.
Just so you guys know, this was originally conceived as a hilarious Broadway musical.
Oh!
Yes. Mission accomplished.
Well, also, they should have still done that.
And, here's the thing, though. The writer has held on to the rights and is promising one day to make this into a Broadway musical.
I think you mean threatening.
No.
And I guess under pressure from the studio, they were trying to cut $2 million out of the budget. And the screenwriter and the director sat up all night in a hotel room rewriting the script.
All night in a hotel room? Cocaine.
Doing cocaine. And the screenwriter fell asleep, and the director just deleted 40 pages from the script. And no one noticed.
What? 40 pages.
Wait, first of all,
is a third of the movie.
Also, it was 1985, so you don't delete, you just fucking throw paper out.
He just took paper out the window.
It's no deleting. Isn't that French?
Yeah, he just went over like, hey, we figured it out. 40 pages to pull out.
Wow.
Now, I feel so empty now. Because I want to know what's on those pages, what we're missing.
Those are the lost pages, right there.
I'm going to ask a question.
Please do.
I didn't understand
anything
what was, well... What was in that pile of goo in that guy's house?
Well, wait, hold on.
Apartment.
Wait, just to go back to it. So the pile of goo.
Yeah.
When?
In Eddie's apartment.
Okay, do you think it's...
I'm with you now. What did you see happen?
Okay, now, I was a little in and out at the beginning of this movie. I was on an airplane, there were a few things happening, so I genuinely may have missed it, but I thought there was a person in there at one point.
A person in the pile of goo?
Yes, in the fish tank full of goo.
Oh, fish tank, okay.
Whatever that was.
So there's a person in the fish tank full of goo that's like ate that whole ham bone and stuff like that.
That's what I'm asking. What was that?
I would argue it's piranha.
Or a shark. Some sort of carnivorous fish.
Okay, well,
in a fish tank.
Well, I did not know that. And then later on, when he puts his face in there, though, nothing happens to him.
There is like a cut on his head.
Oh. But by the way, that was a strong move for the main character because he's pretty nonviolent, and then all of a sudden, willy-nilly just puts that guy's face in a piranha tank.
Yeah.
That could have come out really bad. That would have been a bad move for him.
It's also like, did he ever name what it was? No, right? Whatever it is,
shark. It might
shark,
have been a person.
I don't think it's a person.
What kind of person would be living in the
water?
I don't know. A very strange person.
Okay.
I don't know. And like, it sounds like you don't know what's in there, too.
Well, I think we can presume it's like a shark or piranha or barracuda or some sort of fish.
At one point, there's one shot of it where there's like a shirt, like a button-down shirt going by.
What? Can anybody else...
Did anyone see a button-down shirt?
Can anybody else corroborate?
There's clothing in there at one point.
Hand raiser, what did you see?
I did see some sort of shirt float past for like half a second.
Then all right.
Maybe they fed a shirt-wearing person to the shark.
Yeah, because that guy's definitely not lying.
Yeah.
He was very specific.
Cool dude gets
that's just stuck with
so,
him.
So, you know what, June? We owe you an apology. You and cool dude. You guys, it's definitely
you
some
can
sort
now,
of
yeah.
submersible man
okay,
monster.
But why was the water like fluorescent?
I think
green?
Because they could not afford to have anything in it, so they didn't want to have to show fish in the tank.
Okay, but, and then another question: why didn't it look just like a fish tank?
I thought it did.
I thought it did too.
I thought it looked like what we would consider to be
like I think
a quote unquote fish tank.
But if it's gonna be all right.
Well, that whole house.
I mean, it's not like that show on Discovery Channel where they like pimp out fish tanks, whatever that's called.
No, it could have been like a mermaid. Anyway, let's move on.
Wait, could have been a mermaid.
I'm gonna hit the pause button right now.
By the way, I will say. That house was totally made out of chrome. That was a pretty beautiful chrome house. Like, everything had chrome fixtures on it.
June, for you, in this movie about The Last Dragon, Leroy Green, kung fu expert, shown
ninja.
Up, you are positing that there is a mermaid in Eddie Arcadian's home.
What I'm saying is I don't know what the fuck is in there.
Yeah, you know,
could have been a dragon. The last dragon, in fact. I don't know what's in there.
Hannibal, you want to take a shot at what's in the tank?
Well, here's what I'll say. I forget what city was in, but it was. I've been to a weird bar where they have a aquarium above the bar, and it's just some girl swimming around.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
Let's not rule it out. This guy had money.
Interesting.
And he might have. Once you get bored, you
do
start
you,
to
like,
do different stuff.
Are
money.
You meant to like put meat into the tank and they will ferociously clean it to the bone?
Well, we don't know how often he's feeding her because he did say the thing that's so funny is that is it's not a fish tank as much as it's like a it's lower level than a, like I don't
it's not a fish tank.
The color was weird. Of
the color
the water.
Was weird. And he says, "Hey, didn't I tell you to get this out of here? Oh, you mean the giant thing in your living room? Like now you just are like, hey." Didn't I say, like, that would be something that would be small that you would find, like, that's a giant tank in the center
and
of his living room.
Also, the other reason why I thought maybe it was a person or a mermaid was because he was so weird about getting it out of there. If it was just a fish or a shark,
mm-hmm.
it seems like you could have that and that's, you know, fine. But if you're keeping a human in there, or you've created some fucking weird creature, like, that's gonna be an issue.
But that's kind of the kind of thing you would almost make a movie about.
Yeah.
It wouldn't
called
be
The Last Dragon.
It wouldn't be like a tertiary plot line that barely gets
Wait,
addressed.
What if that was part of the 40 pages that were just
Because here's, like, for me, I'm like, if I've got a mermaid, if I've got a flesh-eating cannibalistic mermaid, guess what I don't give a shit about? My girlfriend's videos.
Yeah.
It seemed like he was behind a lot of up-and-comers. He was, like, behind a fighter, behind a pop star, and behind a flesh-eating mermaid. Like, he was trying to get each one of
New
them.
New acts. You gotta have a gimmick, you know. Everybody knows
hey,
that.
Y'all ever go to the Standard?
Yeah.
On Sunset in yeah. Hollywood, and sometimes they just have a chick in a box.
Not crazy about
just
that, but
checking
yeah.
Checking her email.
Yeah, just checking her email. Just sitting there reading, sometimes sleeping.
So creepy.
Yeah, maybe inspired by this.
Yeah. I mean, without the goo, of course.
But yeah. My favorite thing about Eddie Arcadian is that at the end of the movie, he realizes after he's like gone through many bad guys to defeat Bruce, he just says, oh, I can shoot you. The entire time he could have shot him.
Well, but he doesn't want him to, because Mike Starr, his henchman, is character actor extraordinaire.
Everything
Mike Starr, who
Goodfellas.
I just love. He's in Coen Brothers movies, he's in everything. Anyway, he has the gun and he wants to shoot him, and he's like, no, we're not, that's not what we're doing. We're going to hire, like, the equivalent of all the bounty hunters, like it's like from Empire.
I was gonna say it like, felt like Blazing Saddles, even because the characters
sure.
were insane. Like they were not yeah. even. They
like
were
there just... was like a feral man, who's dressed like Kraven the Killer or whatever. There's like everybody seems to be
the guy
from the WWF.
The guy brought his resume from when he killed a woman.
Yes,
an old lady like in a trash compactor. He's like, here's my resume.
How about this?
Oh.
The murderers brought resumes.
And by the way, the one murderer that I wanted to see more of, and you only saw him in the final fight scene, was the Santa Claus guy.
Whoa!
Like, this older man with a big white beard who was kind of like...
Santa Claus with like a mohawk.
Yeah.
You know,
I was very into that guy.
I want to be honest and say that today I watched the first 40 minutes, and it was super overwhelming. And I wrote too many notes down, and I was like, this is too many notes, and I'm going to write about everything. And so I was like, this is too much, and I just skipped to the end.
Well, did you see The Glow? You saw The Glow,
The
right?
Glow at the... Yeah!
Oh, yeah.
The Glow is a crazy thing.
How about... Okay, go ahead.
The Glow is a crazy thing because, again, it's a movie... There's so much going on, and it's just not enough for our main character to defeat the main bad guy, or Shonuff. He's got to adopt the glow, which makes his body glow, but Shonuff has the glow.
He's got a red glow.
Different glow.
He doesn't
glow.
Have the glow. He has a glow.
Yeah.
Isn't it just a... Isn't that the whole thing?
If you I refuse to believe that Shonuff has the glow.
Yeah,
well,
he had
glow,
bad
once,
energy.
Yeah.
Once Shonuff had a glow, I was like, glow must not be that impressive.
Well, that's what I thought. I thought it was like... It's like lightsabers or something. Like, you can get one. You just have to kind of...
Like rummage around a bit and you'll find one.
Well, maybe. Yeah, I mean in that world, not in yeah. our world, yes.
Sure.
But maybe Shonuff, he was, maybe his motivation was that he was really just looking for a real friend.
He definitely seems lonely.
And he didn't know how to approach it. Because everybody around him seemed kind of...
Just like a yes
yeah,
man.
Yeah,
sycophantic.
Yeah.
And
yep.
It just felt, and so he was trying to be friends
to really
with
him.
Bruce. But he couldn't, and he was like, I got the glow, you got the glow.
Yeah, let's glow together.
Like, nobody else glows.
You know what, we
but
can be
like,
glow bros.
I'll fight you. Shonuff was gay.
There is more of a connection between Shonuff and Leroy Green. I believe
they should
that.
Be friends.
They can because, be glow bros.
Because Shonuff has not... Has, you don't see Shonuff do anything that is bad for the community besides breaking the pizza place, but that's only because he wants to get closer to...
Leroy Green.
Leroy Green.
Yeah.
So, like, but he's not, like... He's a bad guy. He's just a guy who's...
I felt
again,
bad for Leroy
friends.
Green's
just looking for connection.
Family. Because they must be worried about him. You know what I mean? Like, he's off all the time practicing martial arts. He's barely working in the pizza place. You know, showing up and his gang are like coming and trashing the place and calling him out. Like, he's going out on these adventures. They must be genuinely worried about him.
Yeah.
And plus, their younger son is like a straight up sex addict.
By the way, I did like
these parents are struggling.
The younger son
to keep order.
Definitely has a kid already.
But by the way,
in the 80s, hell yeah.
I would love it if at the end of the movie he had like a son. And he's like, oh boy, it was worth it.
Look, sometimes you have to make sacrifices for your business. And I think that Daddy Green's Pizzeria is doing really well. And you know what? That's the cost of what it costs to be a good business.
That's the cost of what it costs.
That's the cost of what it costs.
Can I ask a question?
Keep on throwing that kid into the dumpsters too. That's the
thing. That wasn't right. I did like when he like danced out of his ropes.
Oh yeah.
Shaked.
That was amazing. I can't wait till somebody ties me up at some point and I pop and lock my way out of my restraints.
What is his name? The insane guy, Eddie Arcadia.
Yeah, Eddie Arcadian.
Eddie Arcadian, why did he keep on saying that women could order things a la carte? Why is that such a...
That was his big thing about like what a big shot he was, is that people would be allowed to order off the a la carte.
But...
Like, because it's so much more expensive that way. That was his way of showing like what a
Eddie
big shot.
Eddie Arcadian's a big price fix kind of guy.
Yeah. Well, yeah, Eddie Arcadian sounds very new money.
But here's the thing. But isn't it cheaper to order a la carte rather than choose the price fix option?
No, I think because a la carte, you're paying for all your sides. You're paying for all your sides individually. You're not getting like it doesn't matter. What's happening right now?
Yeah.
Betty White with an urn of ashes. Help me.
Oh shit.
I thought that was just a weird aside.
Yeah. Hannibal, did you not know my catchphrase?
Yeah,
just help me. Let's put it on a t-shirt. It's a long one, but it kind of works.
Honestly, it does, and I will be using it.
It's hot in this room.
Hey, everybody. You like improv? You want to see the master of improv shake it up? Well, guess what? Besser versus the audience is back for season 4 on Stitcher Premium. What's that? You know Matt Besser, right? He's from UCB. He taught me how to do long-form improv, and he has an amazing Earwolf show that you've heard, Improv for Humans. You can even get now more Besser on a Stitcher Premium show. That's right. Double your dose of Besser. People tell me all the time, I need more Matt Besser in my life, and thank God we are here to provide it on Stitcher Premium. We know how the show works, right? Most hosts like to talk to their audience like they respect them and like them. Not Matt Besser. He'd rather challenge the crowd, antagonize them into liking him. It's a rare performance style, but he is the person who has mastered it. Recorded live at UCB's ASCAT, Besser versus the audience follows Matt Besser as he engages with his fans in ways that are startling and very confrontational. It's true. I've watched this. He taught like that. This is Matt. He is the master of provoking, and if you want to just test it out, I think you will not be disappointed. Listen to Besser versus the audience on Stitcher Premium. You can get 1 month free when you go to stitcherpremium.com/improv and use the offer code BONKERS, that's BONKERS. That's stitcherpremium.com/improv, stitcherpremium.com/improv, offer code BONKERS for a free month of Stitcher Premium. I challenge you, listen to it today.
Should we just watch a scene where Bruce tells Vanity that he's never had sex before?
Yeah. This is amazing.
Right, hopefully the volume will be good.
You see, my friend.
This is what he said, that weird paintbrush shit, right?
He likes this girl.
Yeah?
But he has never been with a woman before. He does not even have a paintbrush.
Paintbrush?
He cannot even draw.
Draw? What are you talking about?
You know. The art of making love moves.
Oh, of course. I would love to show you some moves, Leroy.
Oh, no. It's not for me. I said it's for my friend. He is the one.
Okay, anything you say.
Mm-hmm. Is it not kind of hot in here, Miss Charles?
And then cut. That was so weird. Because she was like, I want to give you the pussy so bad.
Yeah. She's thirsty.
I'm giving you 7 strikes to say some stupid shit.
She's even dressing like him now. That's how much she wants him.
She wants him, but she's just...
He's nervous. You don't understand, you guys. He knows that, and that's making him more nervous.
How old is he meant to be, do you think?
I would say...
40.
19.
That makes sense.
Okay.
But you know, wouldn't
I had him a little older.
Wouldn't it have made sense if, like, the opening of the movie started, like, his training finished in China or something? He came back. He feels...
Like he's been away, you mean?
Yeah, like he's been away training with somebody.
Well, but, I felt like they were doing a... Has the Karate Kid already come out at this point?
I imagine so, yeah.
Yeah.
Nerds?
Yeah.
Thank you. So I felt like they were doing that kind of thing. Like, he's gotten sucked into, like, the world of the... His kind
master.
Of... his sensei character in the beginning. And that is what he's kind of, you know, gotten into. And that's why he's not been around. But what I can't quite figure out is... Everybody seems to know who he is.
Right.
I mean, like, everybody in the neighborhood knows who he is. He seems to be not like... He doesn't seem to have been missing or anything. Like, he's ensconced in the neighborhood, but he doesn't appear to know anything about any of them. They all know who he is, and he is like... it's almost like he's Memento. Like, every morning he wakes up and is like tabula rasa.
He doesn't even call his... He doesn't even call his sister by the right name.
No. He does not seem to be a part of his family. He is like a wandering person. It is very strange. She's like, I will teach you some moves. And he's like, not me. Oh, I mean, my friend. Oh, boy, it's getting hot in here. But, like, no. She wants to fuck you. Like,
get
it. Is like, and by the way, in these, like, silk... Like, what is this?
Bonus?
Not even. Like, his boner would be visible immediately.
Oh, what he's wearing.
Like, there is no constraining a boner in, like, silken clothes like this.
Wouldn't it have been great if, like, after he had sex, then he got the glow? Like, that's what was holding him back?
I love that.
Different type of glow.
And did anybody else feel like when he was, like, he doesn't even have a paintbrush, that he, like, didn't have a dick? Yeah. Like, maybe he was like, oh, I don't, Paul? Yeah. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh, I forgot Paul doesn't have a dick. Okay. I'm so sorry.
I'm out of here.
He's like, nah, man. You what you talking about now?
You went too far.
I'm about to do a stand-up set now.
I am coming here to the audience to ask them if they have any questions that they'd like us to talk about. Yes, your name and your question.
My name is Brittany, and my question is something my fiancé pointed out to me. Why?
We get it. You're engaged.
Big deal. You got the glow. You got the glow.
Congratulations. You win.
You showed him some moves. You showed him the moves.
Yes to your relationship.
Oh, brother.
Why should
the patriarchy continues.
All right, here you go.
Handmaid's Tale!
We watched and we realized Shownuff looks familiar, and he pointed out that Busta Rhymes does an impression of Shownuff in the end of Dangerous, and I want to ask, what do you guys think of Busta Rhymes' impression of Shownuff? Never seen it.
I don't know. Well, I don't feel like I can talk
to let me say this. So that is all information your fiancé came up with? So he can't speak for himself. He's like, you gotta talk. Your relationship is a sham. Get out of it.
Oh, shit.
I mean, do you think, though, like, in your marriage, he's ever gonna speak
Why
for himself?
Why not speak for yourself? Why not say what Uh-oh. You want to say, not yeah. what the man wants to say? Uh-oh. How about that, San Francisco?
Oh, shit. Bro, man. Wow.
She's right now like, you were right, you were right. He was, I knew it, I shouldn't have done it.
Yeah,
I,
man.
I will give you...
Jason, that was a reckless use of power.
I will give you an interesting tidbit about the movie. RZA has been trying to remake the film.
Amazing.
With Chris Brown and Rihanna.
That seems... That's... Okay.
And it was before the incident, and then recently tried to bring it up again, but Samuel Jackson signed on to be Shownuff in the remake. Which doesn't seem to be happening.
Ooh, I hope I can audition to play Eddie Arcadian.
All right, ma'am, you're...
We haven't even talked about the monologue with Eddie Arcadia and his wife.
Oh, my God. That was
girlfriend.
That really took a turn in the middle of the movie, this really impassioned fight about, like, you don't
Kew
care
Gardens.
About me.
Oh, yeah.
And getting by on her tits.
They were both from Kew Gardens?
Which is crazy.
She's like, you're getting by on my tits. I'm getting by on my tits.
Whoa.
Like, that was a powerful
scene.
And
it was beautifully performed.
Yeah.
Your name, your question.
Hi, my name is Jenny, Dr. Maria Rules. I don't really have a question so much as a comment. I really, really appreciated the wardrobe on this movie. There were just so many little touches that were amazing, like Shonuff's, the Japanese flag in the middle of his glasses, and then in the music video outfit, the chick wearing like the reflectors as an earring, and the headlights and the license plate, just a lot of nice little wardrobe.
I loved the clothes in this movie. I loved Vanity wearing, like, and it inspired me, to be honest, like a blue sequin dress and blue tights and blue shoes. The only outfit I didn't love was when Leroy's in his, the kung fu class that he's teaching, which we also haven't spoken about his students, but he's wearing a mustard onesie.
Well, that is...
That's a Bruce Lee, that's analogous to a famous Bruce Lee outfit.
Okay.
That's why that's, okay. That's why that's like that.
But it's horrible.
Yeah.
And it's ill-fitting, you know.
All right, sir, your name, your question. I'll hold the mic.
Okay.
Shit.
My name is Nick, and my question was if Eddie Arcadian is such like a failure and can't get his music videos on any TV show, how can he afford such an elaborate lair and to make these ridiculous music videos with choreographed dancers
well,
in his house?
He's jacking up the price of those video game machines.
He's an arcade owner, isn't he?
Yes, Eddie Arcadian.
He's like, he owns arcades, and he's like big and famous from that. Isn't that what he says in the beginning there?
I think so, but I wonder why he wants to get... Does he want to get into the music
and
video
fighting.
World?
Because I think he wants to do it for her.
But he also wanted to get
the... Because then when she walks out of it, I mean, he still wants what he wants.
Yeah.
I don't know.
At that point, I think he just wants revenge.
I think that, you know, he found... success in that world and felt like he deserved it in the other world, but burned some bridges and people just don't like working with him.
You know,
for obvious reasons.
Is everything.
He's very extreme.
He's like a murderer.
Yeah.
He has a mermaid in some goop.
Yeah.
Like, who is this madman?
And so when people in the room, like, coming up with names, like, do you want to get Eddie Arcadia's girl on the track? Like,
no,
that dude's a nightmare.
Yeah.
He's gonna fight for the right, like the rights of the song. It's gonna really take all the money.
Well, he's like a he has the storyline of like a mobster, you know, and she's like the what is it, like the mobster's mall, you know, and she wants to, you know, prove to her that he's big stuff, but like he's really just small potatoes, right? What?
I think they're talking about an order they're making outside at the food tent.
Oh, is it? Oh, are we making orders?
Whatever you guys want, just shout it out. It'll be fine. Your name, your question.
My name's Joey, and this is actually a perfect clip to have up because it references it. Right before the moves talk, which is amazing, he pretty much explains to Laura, like, what the glow is. And I'm sure this is probably part of the 40 pages that were lost, but immediately from this scene, they cut to Seventh Heaven, and... all of a sudden, she's got a professionally edited video of Bruce Lee, and
yes,
the music over it is about the glow, which she has never heard of. And
before the drive over to the studio,
right?
Like, she drives him to Seventh Heaven and plays him like kung fu porno music video,
where he learns to kiss and he. Karate's with it, right? Because he kisses in that one.
I mean, the reality
It was very odd how much he was just doing moves along to the video when she clearly wanted to fuck. He was naive to a degree that it almost seemed like he was being molested.
That's my concern. Sir, your name, your question.
Andrew. right, so my question is back to the younger brother. And so what do y'all make of this Hollywood trend of the naive, innocent protagonist being schooled on things like sex, et cetera? Think Chloe Grace Moretz in 500 Days of Summer on an even more innocent character kind of schooling.
I like that your trend starts in 1985. Goes to 500 Days of Summer from like 6 years ago. I don't know that it's a Hollywood trend.
Yeah, I feel like, all right, let's see. Do you have a good one? All right, she has a good one, all right. Whoa.
What happened?
I asked if she had a good one, and people said, oh.
Wait, you were reacting
they
to give a good one?
They took it as a slam.
Yeah, okay, here we go. Here we go, because it may be
weirdly,
the last one.
Weirdly sensitive, San Francisco.
All right, here we go. Your name, your question.
Hi, my name's Lane. I hope it's a good question. Did anyone else notice that doctor was misspelled on the wall of Daddy Green's Pizza? It was spelled with an E-R.
Oh,
kind
shit.
Kind of an oversight.
That is a big oversight.
Yeah.
All right, I'll ask right here. Let's see. What do you got? Who has a really good one? Somebody feels like it's... Oh, this guy. I feel like you got... All right, let's see. Golden State. All right. Your name, your question.
My name is Jay, and it's more of a question. I don't know if you guys realize, but the young Asian boy, and it is Ernie Reyes Jr., who's from Surf Ninjas and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Oh, wow.
And he's a horrible actor in this movie.
Well, he's cute in this movie.
He kicked ass.
He's great.
I loved in the final fight when all of Leroy Green's... class came to his aid and fought the bad guys to support him, and that little kid was unbelievable.
It was so sweet.
But he wasn't really established before that last scene, right?
I think, he was in with the, wasn't he in with
the
younger kids?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
He was briefly. In the 40 pages.
Yeah.
More.
One interesting fact about this is, like, Berry Gordy would bring musical acts to the set all the time to show him the movie, and Diana Ross came, and she saw the set of Seventh Heaven, and she's like, I want that for my tour. And then took that set on tour with her.
Wow. Hey, that's so, how inspiration happens.
Yeah.
By the way, did
give me that.
And wasn't it weird though, like when they shot the music videos? Like I felt like they shot the music video of a normal movie would be like, oh, there's a video playing, and then we go into it. But this is like a video camera shooting the video. It was like it was never
when.
Like for the DeBarge video, it was kind of like they
I
had
thought
a big
that was
screen.
Just a video. A regular video. Was DeBarge there?
No, that was a regular video.
Okay,
but I'm saying instead of like just going like, and now we'll just kind of go to the DeBarge video. It's like, no, we'll just tape the DeBarge video playing and we'll play that.
The reality of like video making was strange in this movie. Even at the end, when Eddie and his little henchmen take her outside to get her out of Seventh Heaven, they tell her she's coming outside for a sound check.
Yeah.
And she goes.
Into a truck.
Happily.
Into a truck. She's been doing this job for how long? Who knows? And they're like, they convince her successfully to go out the back door and into a truck for a sound check?
Yeah.
Very naive.
A quick ADR session. I really enjoyed when in the pizza shop when the Not Cyndi Lauper video was playing while Shownuff was in there and he was yelling at the family. He said, what is this shit? And then stomps the jukebox. So,
yeah, he breaks
and
that jukebox.
And the dad goes, that's not, I don't even own that. He's just like renting that machine, obviously. And he's like, fuck, now I'm going to have to pay for this?
I also like that I think there was something so real about that fight scene because it's like, yeah, how would you react? And the mom just starts taking dough and throwing dough at these guys. Like, they were defenseless. They were a defenseless family, but they had, like, they didn't, yeah. And the kid also...
That would have been movie enough.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, if the family in the neighborhood were being threatened by Shownuff and his gang of, like, toughs. Okay, I buy that. They're the villains, blah, 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 blah. To put Eddie Arcadian into the mix is just a lot of business.
But I think this is also, like, this is the time of selling soundtracks.
Sure.
And, you know,
well, Barry
there's
Gordy,
original music
I mean,
in this movie. Yeah,
I'm sure Barry Gordy's like, I like this
kung fu movie, what if we really made it about a music producer who's trying to get a pop star? Like, he wanted to make one movie, and then someone like delivered him a kung fu movie, and he mixed it. By the way, I think he is a ninja, because at one point he walks into the room with a mask on, and don't they take off the mask, a ninja mask?
He does wear a ninja mask at one point, but I don't know that he's a ninja.
All right.
Do you guys think he's a ninja?
No.
Thank you. Huh. You agree with me. Thank you. All right.
Passionate audience.
Obviously, we had an opinion about this movie, but now it's time for second opinion.
Regrets, I've had a few, but not about The Last Dragon. On Amazon.com, they agree with me, and yes, I'm bragging. We've had fun all through the show, even with no sound, we found our rhythm. So now the time has come for second opinion.
All right, give it up. What's your name again, sir?
Yeah.
Mike, give it up for Mike. Mike, stay right here. Hold on. I'll give you one of these.
Great
give
work.
You one of these posters.
Yeah.
And give you one
Great
of these.
Work.
Great job. Thank you so much. There you go. All right. Give it up for Mike. Wow. Amazing.
Come on.
Great.
All right.
Stuff in there, too.
Yeah, really, on the fly. These are 5-star reviews from Amazon. These are people who love the movie so much, and it seems like we did, too, but these are...
Real quick, because I listened to a couple other shows to get the vibe of it. Well, did he just make that up, or what was going on?
What he did was, we always ask when we're at these live shows, to come up with a song. So some people write them down, some people improvise them.
Mike, what did you do? Did you write
song.
That previous?
Oh, okay.
When did you write it? Seemed like a lot of work went into
okay.
it.
Okay.
Right when before started.
We started? Okay, man. To the tune of My Way.
Yeah. So some people...
She was beautiful.
Yeah.
I didn't...
Did a great note.
Also...
It's been one of the most amazing things. People come and they... A cappella sing a beautiful song,
But the way people clapped, I was like, oh, that's the regular theme song. I was like, oh, that's the
No. Okay. We're all discovering it at once.
Yeah, that is a first and only time.
Right,
so this is a one written by Astro Dancer. And Astro Dancer kind of picks apart the whole movie in a way. He says that Show Enough is comparable to the evil queen in Snow White who wants the title of the fairest of them all.
Oh.
And I was like, and then he goes, let's see, like this. Berry Gordy did a wonderful job, including some comedic elements that still seem fresh. However, I did not like the kidnapping attempts. Why did no one attempt to report them to the police? And then this goes to you, June. The young Tamek is so appealing, embodying the martial arts training that his character represents. Vanity demonstrates such an effusiveness and joy in the closing scenes that appears so authentic that we can only imagine there must have been some real-life infatuation between the two. This is a magical film that might appeal to all audiences, if not for some foul language and some violence. 5 stars.
5 stars.
And then this one was a great one written by 4040. Movie, good. 5 stars.
Solid. To the point. That's how I write because when I Airbnb spots, Airbnb is heavy on reviews.
Yeah, you got to do
but
it.
But I'm very short, like, good spot, nice.
That's all you want to do. I don't want to write a 3-paragraph review.
Write about your goddamn decorations.
The bed was so nice, and it was so great that they had a couple DVDs.
I have to say, as someone who's reading those reviews, like I really appreciate the detail some people put into it.
See, but I like yours because I like yours because it's sort of like you're not trying. It's like, yeah, it was good, great. That's what I would feel like.
It was a good spot, comfortable. I paid money for it. Leave me alone now.
It's like when you have to sign those books and you got to leave them in the rental house. Did you ever do that? Like you have to like write a little story about...
Like a guest book?
Yeah, guest book. We had a wonderful time.
No, thank you.
Yeah, no, I'm not into it.
I'm a hard pass on signing guest books.
Sorry about my lube stains.
don't blacklight the bedroom.
By the way, it's funny that you both said that because the writer of this review is Wet Dreams 47. Wet Dreams 47 writes...
That means Wet Dreams 40 up to 46 was taken.
Yes. By the way, I would have just picked Wet Dreams 69, but why not? This is
I feel like this is a 47-year-old man. Go on.
Oh, maybe. This is all in caps, by the way. Have viewed this movie several times in my lifetime.
Yeah.
No.
And now it has been purchased.
Oh!
My family will view this film. This movie includes several martial arts moves, as well as artists making the moves to battle each other.
Nice.
Dot, 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 5 stars, titled Where Is My Last Dragon?
Where is it? I think it's in the mail.
Yeah, you got it. You have it. You own it. Let's go around here and say, Hannibal, would you recommend people to watch this movie?
Yes. First of all, I'm glad this wasn't really, because I know a lot of times you talk about terrible movies.
Yeah.
And once I started watching it, I was like, oh, this podcast is a celebration.
It is. I agree with you. This is a good movie. I recommend you watch it. But it's fun, but it is insane.
It's insane. And yeah, I think it should be, yeah, it should be on the level of, there's some movies that I haven't seen that people think, you got those movies where people are like, you haven't seen them.
What?
It's a bunch of those with me. Yeah. Like, I haven't seen Goonies. Gasp. Yeah, I haven't seen any of the Harry Potter. Like certain, but this one, I think, I've seen it as a kid, and so to revisit it was really dope. So 100% you should see The Last Dragon.
Jen?
I really loved it, and I wish Barry Gordy had made more movies after this.
Agreed.
To be honest, because this was a very enjoyable movie.
Yeah, same. Same.
Yeah,
I'm all in. 5 stars.
This is it.
On this movie.
5 stars.
It is. This is like actually to me like one of the perfect ones that we do. Like this is like the perfect How Did This Get Made movie, because it was not painful to watch.
Oh no.
Yeah.
It's enjoyable.
It's a blast.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a lot of fun. But Chaz Palminteri is also in this movie, a small part as a gangster.
Really?
Which, yeah.
Oh, I missed that.
Yeah. So, Hannibal, what do you have? You're in big movies right now.
Yeah.
Spider-Man. You're in the Spider-Man movie.
I'm in the Spider-Man movie, yeah.
So cool.
That's great.
Yeah.
Was that fun?
It was fun. It was just quick. It's a lot of downtime. The exciting part is when the movie comes out. But, yeah, it was fun. I play one of the dumbass characters that don't know he's Spider-Man.
Okay.
Where I'm like, wow, Peter, you're athletic.
So we should say spoiler alert for Spider-Man. He is athletic.
People can listen to your podcast, Handsome Ramblers.
Handsome Ramblers.
So good. And then you're at Bonnaroo.
I'm at Bonnaroo next week.
Yeah. And then anything else to...
FYF Fest and Broad City premieres in August.
And then people can just see you around this fest for a little bit.
Yeah, I'm doing Anna Faris podcast tomorrow. And then I have I'm doing a show, a full set over there. And then opening for Jerry Seinfeld tomorrow.
Yeah.
That's going to be great.
Me and June did a movie together.
That's right.
Yeah, we did a movie, The Pact, where we played husband and wife.
That's right.
It was, you know what? You know what, Paul? It was weird, because I'm not a good actor.
That's not true.
And so I couldn't get out of my head where I was like supposed to like hold her and be affectionate, but in my head I was like, yo, this is Paul's wife.
But that's not, yeah, that's an awkward move. Like, if you, like, you don't want to do that.
Yeah,
to
like, yeah, this is Paul's wife. I can't be like, really? So I was kind of half touching her and shit. It was really very stiff and unnatural.
Just like asking her for a high five.
Like, June, is this okay? Do I have consent?
Did we do a lot of fist bumps?
Should we FaceTime Paul?
We did.
Husband and wife who fist bumps stay together, right?
I loved it. And I thought it was very natural.
Okay.
So, Jason, June, what do you want to talk about? Anything?
Well, the third season of Grace and Frankie's out on Netflix still.
Right.
Still out there. And I don't know. I'm excited to see Wonder Woman this weekend.
Hey. Great.
That's it for me.
I'm in a movie called The House that comes out June 30th. You can see. Please go see that. It's very funny. And then I also want to send a big thanks out to the people at State Bird Provisions here in San Francisco.
Oh, yeah. They took such good care of us.
Who gave us a phenomenal meal last night. And I just want to say, if you're in this town, go to that restaurant. It was fucking amazing.
But make your reservations early.
Because yeah. that's what we heard.
They took my egg allergies very seriously.
Good.
Which was great.
And I want to say check out Veep, but I want to give a special thank you to Avril Halley, who cuts all of our clips. She's right there in the front. She did that amazing Jean-Claude Van Damme butt thing. She pulls them every episode. Give it up for her. Nate Kiley, everybody at Earwolf, everybody here. Thank you, Hannibal. Thank you, everybody. Good night.
Yeah.
Hey everyone, I'm Scott Aukerman, and if you love How Did This Get Made like I love it, I've been on it many times, Zooks, June Diane, Shear, the whole gang, I love them. I want to make a bet. I bet that you will love a little show I host on Earwolf called Comedy Bang Bang. Comedy Bang Bang is the show, there's no better way to describe it than as the show where I talk to interesting people. Doesn't that sound great? Some of those interesting people just this year that we've had on include Tig Notaro, Andy Samberg, Kumail Nanjiani, John Hamm, Rachel Bloom, so many more. And we have some amazing guests coming this fall that I can't even mention yet. And then stick around after my first interview because you never know what other entertaining people or interesting people just might show up. There has never been a better time to start listening to Comedy Bang Bang. Check it out on Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or your favorite podcast app.
This has been an Earwolf production, executive produced by Scott Aukerman, Chris Bannon, and Colin Anderson. For more information and content, visit earwolf.com.